From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Welcome to the Wildcast, your Arizona Wildcast podcast. I'm Arizona Daily Star sports editor Ryan Finley, joined by Greg Hansen. Greg, since the last time we did one of these, we've gone uptown here. A little studio, some audio quality. You've got headphones.
Boy, I think I'm in Nashville getting ready to record a song.
Well, can you sing? If so, I mean, it'd be a pretty good podcast.
I could lip sync.
Have you ever done karaoke?
No, I wanted to, but I realized I better not.
Speaking of, watch this. Speaking of flops, the Arizona Wildcats are 0-2. They're playing Southern Utah Saturday at the old stadium at the Oso fan-friendly time of 8 p.m. The Wildcats, most importantly, here are 0-2. They lost their season opener to BYU and then kind of got thumped at Houston. GH, you were there. Sort of where does that loss fit in the big scheme of things? And is it concerning?
Oh, heck yes.
Okay.
You know, I was going through some old games, and I figured it was so bad. I remember only worse in a non-conference game at LSU when Willie Tuitama got knocked out.
My first ever game on the beat. Go ahead, yes.
And that game at Purdue when they lost 59-7, it cost John McAvick his job.
Was that the wanna trade game where he walked
out? No, that was USC. Carroll.
That's right. Go ahead. Sorry.
Those two games in the last 20 years.
Right.
But if you look at it from a different filter, Houston didn't have anywhere near the personnel that Purdue and LSU had.
Right.
So I think it's been underplayed that they got boat raced by Houston.
Right.
Really? How good is Houston?
It's one of those weird things, too. And you were there. Greg, all the national guys popped in for like a half.
Yes.
Before they went up to College Station for the Texas A&M Clemson game that really lived up to its billing.
Yeah.
So they all watched the 31-0 or whatever it was half and then got out of there before Arizona could rally a little bit. I think, at least on a national scale, Kevin Sumlin's been getting thumped this week.
Who is a more disappointing team in America? 2 weeks isn't much, but it's Arizona. There's not even a runner-up.
Right, and making matters worse, I think, is the fact that ASU is the toast of college football right now.
They've got a personality.
Right, and they've got a personality, and they just beat Michigan State at home in a full stadium, cool uniforms.
Yeah.
I mean, ASU, at least last Saturday, was the place to be in college football. Arizona, you know, got beat playing the 9 a.m. game and got boat raced by Houston. Greg, what do you think it is? Is it coaching? Is it players? Have we overlooked some weaknesses that this team has? Okay.
Don't you think the presence of Khalil Tate made so many of us who pay attention look past all those other little flaws that are now bigger flaws? I was really guilty of that.
Right. Well, and I think that the presence of Khalil Tate affected who Arizona hired as its football coach. I mean, say what you will, I think Arizona went and got Kevin Sumlin because they thought, hey, got a quarterback who could be special, got a schedule that lines up for 9 or 10 wins. Go get the guy who can make that kid better. And so far, it's been a mismatch. I don't know why.
Since October, when he was the best player in college football for a month.
Right.
Khalil Tate as a starter is 1-6.
Ooh.
And they've played some bad teams. Purdue, ASU, BYU, Houston.
Right.
I think Houston's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think BYU's very good.
No. Houston, BYU lost to Cal. BYU lost
at home
to Cal. Yeah, right. 1-6.
With momentum and a sellout. And 1-6 as a starter since that October business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not... You just can't explain that away.
No.
There's something.
There's something. But what is it? I mean, I don't pretend to know enough about the X's and O's or about what Kevin Sumlin and Noel Mazzone are trying to do. But, you know, take last week. Post game, Kevin Sumlin says, basically, Khalil told us he couldn't run the ball because of his ankle. You had your binoculars out and did not see any interaction between Kevin Sumlin and Khalil Tate there during that first half, at least.
They could have talked in the general timeout when 80 players got together.
Right.
But that's usually not a place where you have a conversation with a quarterback of any note.
Right.
But I did. I followed him in my binoculars every time on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk to anybody
right.
except Jace Whitaker.
Right. Which it's interesting to me that, you know, in some of this, I'm sure, is just your classic coach speak and player speak that you don't want to tell the media what's going
sure.
on. But, you know, post game to have Kevin Sumlin go, he decided he couldn't run because his ankle hurt. And Khalil Tate go, ankle, what ankle? I'm fine. To me,
it's like that ASU game last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Where Rich Rod and Khalil Tate couldn't even agree on how hurt he was or when he got hurt.
Okay. You played high school football and so did I.
Poorly.
Me too. I had the big double F, fear factor.
Right.
Does Khalil Tate have a fear factor?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, watching how he hurt his leg, I mean, I'm not even comfortable calling it an ankle.
Yeah.
Watching how he hurt his leg on Saturday, I think he pulled up hurt, and I don't know why. I don't know if, I mean, he said that he was basically getting roughed up on the bottom of piles. I don't know if he has the fear factor. He runs so much, and he's so, I mean, at least he was, so willing to initiate contact. Maybe he doesn't, but if you look at, you know, when he was hurt against ASU and what happened last Saturday against Houston, I mean, maybe there's a reticence there to not play through pain. I don't know.
The only reason I brought that up, and I don't think that's what it is, mm-hmm. is because it's such a mystery.
Right.
Consider every variable, and that's one of them.
Right.
I heard Jerry Jones on the radio, and he said, we know Dak Prescott can be good.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for him to be good. Is that what's happening here?
I don't know. It's funny. If you look at Khalil Tate's month of October, I think that that's a big enough sample size against good enough talent to show you that Khalil Tate is a special player, right?
Yeah.
So what the hell has happened over the last seven games? Is it as simple as he has not delivered? Is it as complicated as, hey, man, it's a team sport. He can't play defense too. Or is it he's been figured out because there's some tape on him?
That would be my answer.
Okay.
I would love to have the defensive coordinator of, say, USC.
Right.
I'd like to have Clancy Pendergrass talk about how they defensed him last year
right.
and how other teams are doing it now.
Right.
Because they have another library that we don't have.
Sure.
And obviously that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Part of it's the new scheme, too, I think. And I don't know whether how smart it was to basically implement a scheme that's very much downfield passing, not an emphasis on the run, with a guy who's arguably the best dual threat quarterback in the country. On the other hand, Khalil Tate wants to play in the NFL.
But I keep thinking, wait a minute, they're smarter than this.
Right.
They're smarter than to take his runaway.
Right, right. And you look at somebody like Noel Mazzone. Noel Mazzone's coached some of the most impressive college players in recent memory. I can't imagine that he would just say, nah, we'll just let him draw back and pick people.
Yeah. Or compounding it, did they go into this first two games thinking, we'll win these first three games?
Right.
First four games.
Right.
And then we'll unveil Tate
right.
against USC.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly BYU came in with this defensive plan where this big Kafusi.
6'9", 265.
Was a spy on him and
eliminated
his running options, and Arizona receivers aren't that good.
Right.
Their running backs aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Their offensive line certainly isn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And BYU stole one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a conspiracy theory, but something that you'll probably dismiss. What if they realized right away that between the injuries and the offensive line problems and the defensive problems and everything else, that this is not a team that was going to be ready for prime time, right? In weeks one or two or three, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if they went super vanilla on both sides of the ball the first 2 weeks, knowing that, you know what, hell yeah, it might get them beat, but that it's a process, right? That they want this team ready for USC in week four. And if they're in week five, if they're 2-2 or 4-0, doesn't matter, that it's a process. By then, maybe the offensive line would be better. Khalil Tate would be back. I mean, look, this wasn't a team that was going to win a national championship.
No.
At the end of the day, they haven't lost anything yet, right? I mean, the Pac-12 South and Pac-12 play is what really matters. Is it possible that this is just a process by which he's supposed to be ready to rock in week five?
That's certainly very possible, right. And I don't not buy it.
Right.
But the one revealing thing I thought Kevin Sumlin has said was, you play the cards you're dealt, right? Mm-hmm. Was that his way of saying, hey, mm-hmm. this is what we got?
Right. And Kevin Sumlin is, in a way, like a lot of first-year coaches, if you gave him some truth serum, right, he would probably sit there and say, you know, remember the famous Mike Stoops line from, I think it was his first or second year. I think you had asked him. You said, hey, Mike, how many of these guys could have played for you at Oklahoma? And he went, Daryl Brooks.
Wow, I do remember that.
I mean, if you sat down with Kevin Sumlin today and said, hey, Kevin, how many of these guys would start in the SEC? What would he say? What would he say? I can name three guys, maybe?
Lathe Frank.
Oh, maybe. Okay, he wasn't on my immediate list, but go ahead. Yes?
But maybe. I'm reaching for guys.
Mm, right. I think Derek Bowles might. I think Derek Bowles has some size. I think the quarterback could. I really do. And maybe somebody like a Colin Schooler or a Tony Fields or somebody like that, a Scotty Young Jr. Just because of the eye test, right? Is they look like players.
I'm eager to see Scotty Young because I noticed in warmups he's a much bigger young man now than he was.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny, again, you know, he didn't take part in spring ball, right? And he really didn't play much the second half of last season. We haven't seen him on tape.
No.
In a year. And so, you know, but to me, I mean, is that what he's trying to say? I mean, Kevin Sumlin cannot come out and say all my players suck.
No way.
Right. And you do have to deal with the cards that you're dealt. When you take over for a coach who's been fired for not winning enough games, there oftentimes aren't very many good players left.
Yeah. And this was such a trap, I think. Mm-hmm. Khalil Tate made you look past so much.
Right.
And now Khalil Tate has been diminished. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if he's going to be back.
Right. And I think that when you're instituting a new offense that maybe emphasizes players who look and play a certain way, and you don't have very many of those players, they got problems. I mean, this offense, and again, I don't know enough of the X's and O's to speak with authority, but you look at the types of, say, players and receivers that thrived at Texas A&M when Mazzoni and Sumlin were there. Mike Evans, right? Mm-hmm. Ricky Seals-Jones. These guys who look like basketball players. Tall, athletic, big guys who, yeah, I mean, they're fast, but they're primarily big. How many of those guys does Arizona have? One.
Yeah,
Sean Poindexter. And he went for, 170 yards or something last week? 130 yards?
After the fact.
But, I mean, those are the kinds of players that traditionally do well in this system. Arizona has exactly one guy who fits that mold right now.
We think one guy. I mean, Sean Poindexter was going to Marshall before he came to Arizona.
Right, right. But he, I mean, like those other guys, is super, I mean, a volleyball player, super athletic, tall. But I just, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just personnel-wise a bad fit right now. On the other hand, like someone said, you got to deal with the cards that you're dealt. And if you're, I'm mixing my metaphors here, but if you're also determined to do it with one hand tied behind your back, you're going to start 0-2.
What has occurred to me in the last few days is, could this be a long climb back like Mike Stoops? Mm-hmm. 3-8, 3-8, 6-6. Mm-hmm. Is this again?
If it's that, I wonder how long the Kevin Sumlin coaching experience will go. Only because, you know what, you're paying a guy, you went and got a big name guy to win right now, right? Can I mix a baseball metaphor? Yeah, I mean, you went and got Joe Maddon, right?
Yeah.
You didn't get Rick Renteria for 5 years to build up the troops and win little and go 2 wins, 3 wins, 5 wins. I mean, you brought in the big name coach who's used to coaching big time talent because you think that there's something there and they can win right away before that window closes. If this is a rebuild from the ground up, I'm not sure the head coach is the guy to do it. And I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure it is. I think that there's enough talent in there. I think there's enough talent in there to be good in Pac-12 South play. I do. I mean, maybe they're not going to beat USC, but they rarely do.
You know, a month ago I thought that, and then I watched Colorado play Nebraska, and I went, big trouble.
Colorado won at Nebraska.
Big trouble. They've got size.
If Arizona won a game at Nebraska, we'd be talking about it as one of the 10 best wins of all time.
So Colorado was a team I thought Arizona might beat.
Right.
Now, I don't think they'll beat them.
Right.
So who can you beat?
Right.
Oregon State.
Oregon State.
But that's going to be, Oregon State thinks this is the one game they can win too.
Sure. And if UCLA continues to struggle, UCLA will sit there and say the same thing.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. No matter, UCLA could be 0-11. You know they have the players.
Yeah, right.
You know they have the players. I'm not sure Arizona has the players, and not necessarily because of recruiting, but I think a lot of it's injuries. A lot of it's been, you know, sort of weird, you know, the Scotty Young Jr. thing, right? I mean, suspensions and things like that. I think Arizona has the players. I just don't think it has the depth. And we've seen that here in the first couple of weeks because the offensive line's been a mess, right? Safety position's been a mess. DB has not been good.
Well, unless Khalil Tate comes back and is something like an all-league candidate, not that he's not going to win it
right
now, but unless he's something like that, this is a 2-10 team.
What do they have to do Saturday and the following Saturday? Because I'm going to loop, I'm sorry, I'm looping Southern Utah and Oregon State in the same boat here. What do they have to do the next 2 weeks to get, in your mind, back on track? Or is there anything they can do to get back on track?
Well, just win, and they have to be impressive in beating Southern Utah.
Right.
And then they just have to hang on and beat Oregon State by 1 point.
Wow. See, I'm going the other way here. This is where, if I were Kevin Sumlin and his guys, this is where you show up last Monday and say, all these people out here think you suck.
Oh, sure.
Right? Everybody, nobody thinks you can do it. These people were praising you 2 weeks ago. They all think you suck. I don't. I'm going to throw my arms around you for the week, and we're going to get better. And then you go beat a Southern Utah team that you were always going to beat badly. Mm-hmm. But maybe you hang 60 on Southern Utah, and then you go, see, what we just did here works, right? Now let's go do it again. I think in order to get them back on track, they not only need to win both of these games, even the Oregon State game, I think they need to win big. I think, I mean, to get back to where kind of we thought they were, I mean, if you don't beat Oregon State by 20, I think there's trouble.
I agree with that.
On the other hand, if you're Oregon State, you're licking your proverbial beaver teeth, thinking that Arizona's one of your few chances to win, and you're at home.
Hey, my first year here, Arizona lost its first two games.
Right, 1981.
3 weeks later, they beat number one USC at USC.
Is that the Vance Johnson game?
Yeah, and then 2 weeks after that, they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame.
Right.
And I remember, and it was a long, long time ago, thinking Arizona was really crummy.
Right.
And then they weren't.
Then they weren't. Is it as simple, I mean, is it as simple as they'll play better when they have their left tackle back, that they'll play better when everybody understands what the hell the offense is supposed to be?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's why I'm not necessarily jumping off a bridge just yet, because I think that there are still so many X factors out there that it's possible that they show up next week and they get it. I think it's possible they show up and all of a sudden you go, oh, that's what they're trying to do offensively. I mean, you saw glimpses of that in the second half Saturday where, you know, Sean Poindexter goes deep and you see kind of the way the play was drawn up and you go, that's why it's successful, right? That's a glimpse of June Jones and Hawaii football from 10 years ago.
Well, there should be some glimpses this week and next week then.
Yeah. What do you know about Southern Utah?
They won the Big Sky co-championship last year?
I did not.
I didn't even know they were in the Big Sky. Did you?
No.
And they've just started to play Power Five schools to get the money.
Right.
They played Oregon. They've played Oregon State and then Arizona. And they played a game at Cal like 4 years ago. So this is only their fourth game against a Power Five school. And I looked at their roster. Mm-hmm. Got a good mixture of guys from California and a bunch of Utah guys, Polynesian guys from Salt Lake. And, you know, they're as good or better than NAU.
Right, right. Which, even on Arizona's worst day, Arizona usually beats NAU pretty handily.
It was only a few years ago that NAU had ASU on the ropes in Tempe.
I remember that.
So, I don't know.
We shouldn't be... It seems like we're despairing, and it's like September 8th.
Yeah.
September, what is it? September 12th.
That just almost overwhelmed me in the first half. Saturday was, just on a personal standpoint, I was really looking forward to this season, exciting college football again. And then in the middle of the first half, I just went, man,
I know,
not another one of these.
I used the example last week, I think when I was on with Justin Spears on ESPN Tucson. It's like you show up and it's opening day of the baseball season and you get two hit.
Yeah.
And then you come out the next day and you get two hit.
Yeah.
Then you go, there's 160 more of those. I mean, that was kind of my takeaway last week was, well, unless they improve, it's going to be like this every Saturday for a while.
People I know and talk to in Tucson who are fans and who go to games, and the ones I've talked to this week, none of them are going.
Is that...
starting time, opponent, and the two-game streak.
I think that even if they were 2-0, though, the starting time and the opponent, man, that's, that's a tough pill to swallow.
This is the game you give your tickets to somebody. Right.
That's the Lipscomb basketball game.
Yes.
You know? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And it'll be, to me, I'm curious to see how this team responds not only to being 0-2, but what I'm guessing is a pretty rough week of practice because they're 0-2. And to playing in front of what's going to be probably a half-full stadium. I mean, as much as a stadium and a crowd can give you energy, a crappy one, I think, can suck it out of you. I wonder how this team is going to respond to what is going to be kind of an underwhelming atmosphere.
Whitaker, Scotty Young, and Freak. Mm-hmm. Those three guys can change a lot because they're probably three of their best five players.
Yep, absolutely. And they're back.
Yeah.
And they're back. Well, all eyes will be on not only those guys, but on obviously quarterback Khalil Tate when the Wildcats take on Southern Utah Saturday at the stadium, 8 p.m. GH, I'm glad to have you back.
Oh, thanks.
This is, by the way, right? I mean, it's nice, the headphones.
This is like being at the ESPN studio with Tony Kornheiser.
Exactly. Exactly. For Greg Hansen, I'm Ryan Finley. Thank you for listening to the podcast. A reminder, please download us wherever you get your podcasts. That can be iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere else. And follow us and download our free app. It is the Wildcaster. Our podcast is the Wildcast. See what we did there? I will. For Greg, I'm Ryan. We'll talk to you next week.